Thank you, Wes. Getting us in a worship frame. That beautiful music. Okay, the fighting few. Get any fewer, we can just meet in my car. We won't need to worry about a place. Let's see. There's Julian. What? It's comfortable. What is it? Are y'all cold? Oh my goodness. What is wrong with y'all? God, they take my parking place, they don't show up, and they insult me. Now I know how Paul feels. Let me see here. Okay, let's begin with prayer requests. And last night, tonight, in prayer for Tish and her cancer and her body, that the Holy Spirit will continue to take it out. God will oversee and take it out. Any new... All right.
You know, I was like thinking all kinds of stuff. I felt like it was growing and all that stuff. But he thinks it's all right, but I need to give it more time.
Are you saying you don't need our prayers anymore?
No, I want your prayers.
Oh.
I just wanted to, you know, give you a little update that's sort of kind of positive, I guess.
Okay.
If he knows what he's talking about, I don't know.
Okay. Need to be in prayer for Nathan. We need to be in prayer for Wes and your eye to be able to see. And... I'm going to be following you around tomorrow on Friday. I hope you can see where we're going. All right. Okay. And Wes's mother, for those of you on the internet, is getting an award tomorrow from what would be the specific name of the organization? The Country and Western? Western Music Association. Forget the country. Western Music Association. Yeah, Western. Yeah, I know it. Western Music Association in Albuquerque. How old is your mom? 82 years old. And she's going to be able to, she's going to sing also, isn't she going to? Yeah. So that's going to be beautiful. Wow. And I think she'll ask me to come up and sing with her. that'll clear that place out. And, so that'll be fun. And okay, let's begin with a word of prayer and approach the throne of grace to watch us as we study. Open our eyes. Father, last night you took us into Revelation, dealing with historical events that may be forming this very hour in the world. And there's not a thing we can do about it but trust you. Those things are going to happen. The shaping of the world for the movement of forces in the tribulational period, totally beyond any bit of our control. But Heavenly Father, tonight, when we look at things and living the Christian life, walking by faith, the power of the Spirit, who regenerates us as unbelievers and regenerates us as believers out of sin, these are things, Father, that affect our life every moment. In relationship with husbands and wives and friends, family, church. Pray your Spirit will cause us to see the things that you would have us to see, Father, in living our daily life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. It is interesting in Scripture, different things, different subjects, and right now we're dealing where the disciples are very concerned about themselves, what's going to happen to them. This is our daily life, and every now and then, as long as we're in chapter 14 and other places, I'll remind you, let not your heart be troubled, no matter what's going on. Now, tonight we continue where we left off last week in dealing with a look at regeneration. And last week we looked at, we're in Roman number 1, the necessity of regeneration and the existence. We saw, first of all, in setting up the necessity, the existence and being of God as spiritual and eternity. And we noted that everything starts with God. Then point 2, under the necessity of regeneration, the fall of man set up the means for the necessity of regeneration. And then we looked at point 3, regeneration, being born again, is absolutely necessary in regard to the justification before God. So we spent some time there in dealing how there must be a real change in man. And tonight we pick up with point 4 in this study. Point 4, regeneration is an essential part of the spiritual warfare between God and Satan. I'm looking at the necessity of regeneration. These are the concepts that a lot of people don't know about, don't care about. But we do. And it's very important in the spiritual warfare between God and Satan that our having the life of Jesus Christ is a vital part of this battle. We were dead in the garden, spiritually dead in the garden. I didn't set up the overhead, but the old triangle that we used to do with God and Satan. And then man comes in the garden, and Satan came in and broke that fellowship with man. We were dead. So we now are spiritual captives, if you please, in Satan's kingdom of darkness, getting back to darkness that we studied last night, noted last night. If we're ever going to get out of Satan's kingdom of darkness, if we're ever going to get out of Satan's kingdom of death, we must have life of God. We must be regenerated, as we have seen. Let's note another very important passage in this aspect. Look at the Gospel of John 3. The Gospel of John 3, and you recall this is the great passage with Nicodemus and all. But let's just look at verse 3. The Gospel of John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, here, born again is a different word for regeneration that we saw last week in Titus 3:5. This word, born again, is anothen, A-N-O-T-H-E-N. It's a compound word, even though it's a short word, it's a compound word, and the prefix is ano, A-N-O, and that ano means above. And then added to that is then, T-H-E-N, which means from. So very simply, the word means from above. From above. Now, it says born again. I guess I have no real problem with that. I've used that and known that since I was just a little lad and witnessed a lot with being born again. But to be correct, it means to be born from above. To be born from above. This new birth is distinct from our first birth here on earth. This birth is from above. It is from God. We are from heaven. Heaven is our home. We are aliens here. On Earth, we deal a lot with, where are you from? Well, I'm from Texas. And you never want to ask anybody else if they're not from Texas because you don't want to embarrass them. And but we go with where we're from. It's on our documents. And on a passport. It's on different things. Sometimes a lot of states on a driver's license go all the way back then. I'm not sure that I've fully grasped why a person 70 years old, been living in some other place for, say, 60 years, but they have on the license plates where they're originally from. Well, where I was born is no longer there. The hospital's no longer there. The house is no longer there. The family's no longer there. But that's what they put down. Okay. We talk a great deal about where you're from today. How many aliens were there? Word aliens. Illegal aliens. All these kind of things. Well, people, you and I are from above. And where you're from is very important. It sets up what's important in your life. Your priorities in life. Sets it up. Being from above means that the things on earth do not, should not, disturb us. I was working on Sunday morning's study in Romans 1. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm just working along, and all of a sudden I realize that about 3 or 4 or 5 hours of work, no, that's not what the passage is about. I got into human shame. And how believers shame each other and how believers will carry shame. That's not what Paul's talking about. I've got to stay with what the text is. Stay with what the text is about. So, what this is about here is, people, it's an orientation. We're from above. We're not from here. Don't let the things down here depress you, shame you, get you all out of shape. You're not pretty enough, big enough, strong enough. You're too fat, you're too bald, you're too this, you're too old, you're too young, too this, too that. All this stuff related to the earth. And think on those things from above. Now, so the word means to be born from above. We're citizens of heaven. Man who was once captive in Lucifer's kingdom is now set free. We're no longer from Satan's kingdom. We are from above. The coming of Jesus Christ, giving us life, put an end to Satan's domain over us. We're not from here anymore. We're from above. I've done this before, but I'll just say it in passing because you should be well into your mind now, the illustration. Because to me, it's a very vivid illustration. When I was in the military stationed in Germany, I wasn't from Germany. I lived in a little bed. How wide are those beds, Jim? 2 feet? But just a little bunk. For some 2 years, just a little bunk, and I don't see how big people ever slept in that thing. Green blanket, same green blanket the whole time I was there, didn't even get a new one. Same clothes, drab green, and all this stuff. No car, couldn't just go do this and that. Never bothered me once. Can't vote, can't do this, you're not involved and all. Who's the mayor of Hanau? Who's the mayor of Frankfurt? I never knew. Never bothered me. Their elections, their politics, never bothered me. That I didn't have a car, it ever bothered me. Of course, I drove the general's car when he wasn't around. But all these things, why not? Because I wasn't from Germany. I was from America. I was there on a mission. And I knew that, and I was going back to America. And it's a perfect example of us here. We're not from here. So you may or may not have a designer sheets on your bed, or a blanket, or this, or clothes, or car, all that. We're not from here. We're from above. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. While you're turning to Hebrews, I'll be talking with you about a series that I want to do. A series that Jim Langston and I want to do. And that's this. I want to devote a Tuesday and Wednesday night, and it won't take that long, but I want to devote a Tuesday and Wednesday night for several weeks and put together if you want to call it basic, a basic set of discs on what we believe. And I'm going to do the same thing I did in Africa for the pastors. And like we've done Isaiah 28 different places. But if we go, where is there a tape just of Isaiah 28? We have trouble finding it. And where is a tape that just on this and on this? So Jim and I want to put together I don't know how many. I'll figure it out where we'll have a set number. And it'll just make a nice little package and put together the disc on what we're about, what we believe. And so we'll start that and go through it. But now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since then, the children share. Now, that word share means in common with each other. In common with each other. I have to laugh every time I study this one, because I remember when I was a child with all my children, brothers and sisters, and we weren't too good at sharing. So I'm not sure if we can carry this analogy to that point. But since then, the children share in flesh and blood. Now, flesh and blood is our existence on earth via the first birth, the flesh. Flesh and blood. This is our existence, in contrast with the existence of God. God is spirit. He himself, that is Jesus Christ, likewise also partook of the same. This is the difference word than share. The word partook is a different word than share. This means to hold with someone. Jesus Christ took upon himself flesh and blood. He became a member of the human race. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, since that's true, he, Jesus Christ himself, likewise, like us, flesh and blood, partook of the same, flesh and blood. That, in order that, here's the purpose of Jesus Christ taking on flesh and blood, through death, whoa! Where did that come from? Well, what's the destiny of flesh and blood? Death. That's, we're all going to die. That's a simple fact. There are people who fear that. There are people who, the very thought of death, their own death, death of someone they love, it's a very disturbing thing inside their soul. And I try to communicate so often in my teaching, and I'll take the time here. Don't look at it as ending of something. It's simply a transfer. It's not the end by any means. You don't stop living. Your soul continues. Now you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. What's bad about that? And so it's just having the proper perspective about death. And it's amazing how so many, even Christians, hold on to this life. And if you hold on to it, you don't really enjoy it, do you? You don't enjoy those things that just enjoy. If I have it, fine. If I don't, fine. But if you've got to hold on to it, you don't really enjoy it. And it's a real shame. So I just wanted you to see, all of a sudden he says, through death. Well, where did that come from in this discussion? That's the way of flesh and blood. In order that, through death, now in this case, talking about the death of the cross, he, Jesus Christ, might render powerless him who had the power of death. Oh, who's that? Tells you right here. That is the devil, Satan, a real creature of God. This is why Jesus came. To break the power of death, break the power of the one who had the power of death, and to offer life, offer his life, the life of God. Satan, as Lucifer, entered the first universe, led angels in rebellion against God, this is the prehistoric world, and war, And those who rejected God and chose to follow Lucifer lost the life of God. They lost the life of God. They continue to exist, but not with the life of God. They're called demons, fallen angels, those kind of things. Then Satan later on entered the garden. He led man in rebellion against God. It was very easy. He didn't have to work at it. Man was ready. As a result of sin, man died, lost the life of God. And Satan became the ruler. Therefore, he became what? The ruler of the kingdom of death. That's why he's called here. Because he has it now. He is the ruler of death because of what's in his kingdom of death. Satan desires for all things to continue at status quo. Always remember that. Satan wants to keep everything at status quo, where he rules over all who are dead, spiritually dead, in his kingdom of darkness. Therefore, he is like God. This is his kingdom. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of death. And he rules over them. This is why he blinds or veils the gospel. He wants to make it as impossible as he can for anyone getting out of his kingdom of darkness. And how do we do that? By seeing the light. When you see that you're in the kingdom of darkness and you see the light, oh, wait a minute, there's the light. And he wants to blind that by coming of Jesus Christ into the world of darkness. We studied this a long time ago under the mighty man. He entered the kingdom of darkness, bringing light, life, rendered Satan powerless in his own kingdom of death. That's why what we're studying right now in John 14, I am the life. He must render powerless the ruler of the death, which he did at the cross. It's the first thing he had to do. Then he must be victorious over death, right? First, he must be rendered powerless, the one who keeps us in death. Then secondly, he must be victorious over death. He did that by the what? Resurrection. By resurrecting, he was victorious over death. When we offer Jesus Christ to somebody in your life, the Muslims can't offer that. Muhammad's still in a grave. Who cares? But when we offer Jesus Christ, we're offering them somebody that's in life. Somebody that's risen from the grave, been victorious over the grave. And then he is able to offer life. He first of all rendered the ruler powerless. Then he himself was victorious over death, and now he can offer life to all those who desire to come out of the kingdom of death, out of the kingdom of darkness, into his kingdom of life. And therefore Jesus Christ says what? I am the life. I am the life. I've rendered powerless the one who has the control of death. I've overcome death itself. I offer it to you. He can do that because he's been victorious. Jesus Christ did not annihilate Satan at the cross. What he did, note in our passage, he broke his power of death. He broke his power of death. He can offer life now. We can receive this life by faith. Satan cannot hold a person who puts his faith in Jesus Christ. Satan cannot prevent that. Satan cannot hold that person. He cannot do it. So now all a member of the human race has to do to receive the life that Jesus Christ is by faith. Hebrews 2:14. Since then children share in flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ himself, likewise also partook of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, verse 15, and might deliver those. Look what he did. He rendered powerless Satan, who was holding us in his death, in death, and might deliver those, might, depending on whether or not you trust him by faith, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. We are set free. Jesus Christ is life and gives life to all who simply believe. It's a powerful passage, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. The defeat of Satan is crucial to your receiving life. That's what I want you to see. The defeat of Satan, that's why I said the necessity of regeneration, the defeat of Satan, is essential. As we note this in our passage, Satan has to be cut off from holding us in death and in darkness. Please look with me at 1 John 3. Let's go a little bit over from Hebrews. 1 John 3. Verse 8. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. Here's the purpose: that he might destroy the works of the devil. People, that's powerful. This is why Jesus Christ came. It's stated for you right there. The Son of God, the God-man, appeared for this purpose. Appeared on earth, took on our nature of flesh and blood for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And what are some of the works of the devil that are at play in our study? Death. Keeping us in death. Keeping us in darkness. Jesus Christ destroyed that work. Now look with me at Colossians 2. What we're doing is I'm trying to let Scripture do a lot of stuff rather than give you 15 points. Let the Scripture just speak for us. Colossians chapter 2. Some of the Jehovah's Witnesses can knocking on my door the other day, and I was studying, so I got up and I went out, and they started to go. I said, just a minute. I have a master's in theology. I have a master's in Greek and Hebrew. In fact, I'm in there studying the Bible now. Now, if you people want to come in and let me explain to you the truth of the Bible, I'll gladly give up my time. Now, do you want to do that? And they didn't want to do that. So that was my nice way of getting rid of them. And so you don't even want to take the chance they say how they'll come in, huh? All right. Colossians chapter 2, and for you to write in your notes, and then we'll read. We're going to read 9 through 14. Colossians 2, 9 through 14. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. All right, why? Jesus Christ is God, man. So in him dwells the fullness of deity, all that God is, in bodily form. That's the hypostatic union, the God-man. Verse 10, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. Okay, what does that tell us? Satan no longer has it. He has it. Verse 11. And just look at your text. Verse 9, for in him. Verse 10, and in him. Verse 11, and in him. I'm just showing you how this beautifully lays out in the flow of thought. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Okay, verse 10. And in him you have been made complete. Verse 11. And in him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Takes a very human and graphic physical phenomenal operation of circumcision of the male child, male infant, And that's the picture used here. And the circumcision, the cutting away, made or cut by hands in the removal of the body of the flesh, taking a picture of the circumcision, the flesh is removed by circumcision of Christ. Verse 12 now. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions, picture of when you and I went down, dead in your transgressions, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive, regeneration, born from above, he made you alive, another way of wording it. We have seen the word from regeneration in Titus. We've seen the word from being born from above in John. Now you have another word. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Here's another thing that has to be accomplished. We have to be what? We have to be raised from death. We also have to be forgiven all of our transgressions to be born again. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Okay, so just another way of understanding regeneration. This is powerful of what's going on. Satan and law hold the power of death. Law kills. The law kills. Holy Spirit, what I just wasn't in the mindset. Last night we had a young man that's been coming, and so he wanted to talk more, and he's very much into the law and holding the law. And so, and it was just so funny. You got to do the law. And I said, if you take away grace, even doing the law doesn't count. And I just looked at him and I, okay, we're going to do law and we're going to do grace. And that's what I'm trying to show you. Sometimes people use the words and don't even see what they're talking about. How you can do the both. But look what we're set free from in this second birth. We're set free from death and we're set free from the law. We're set free from Satan. Satan and the law keep man in death. This is why Satan loves the law. The law kills. It states it very clearly. Paul does in Corinthians. The law kills. Satan keeps you in death. That's where Satan wants to keep us under the law. He uses the law to keep man in his kingdom of death. Even when we're believers, if you live under the law, you're in his kingdom of death. You're dead. And oh, how you work. And it's the work of dead bones. But he, Jesus Christ, gives life. He gives life over Satan, life over the law. He did away with the law. He's victorious over Satan, and now he can give us life. All of these things are involved in the declaration, I am the life. Remember what he said to the Pharisees. You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. You are unwilling to come to me that you have life. They won't come to the person who is life. So where is this life? Life is in a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is a person. Write down. You don't need to turn to it, but if you'll just write down. John 1:4. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Write down John 5:26. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, that's our passage, just in case you didn't know that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So, the question arises, how do we get this life? How do we get this life? John 5:40, you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. You're unwilling to come to me. You want to go to works. You want to do the law. You want to go straight to the Father. You know, it is amazing how people try to circumvent Jesus Christ. It's just amazing. Religious people, even under the Christian umbrella, they want to circumvent Christ. Somehow they're going to get do it without Jesus Christ. And then therefore it's not a surprise. We don't understand love. We don't understand His love because God demonstrated His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But we're going to circumvent God's love. We're going to circumvent Christ. Well, then people, you're cutting yourself out not only of life, but of love. If you try to get around the person of Christ and do it without the person of Jesus Christ. We all know the passage, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Try to do it without Christ. You won't understand God, nor will you get to Him. You won't understand life, nor will you have it. But you won't understand love, and you won't have it. It's just amazing what people try to do. I am going to have you to open your Bibles, both here and if you're listening on the internet or disc. John 3:36. This one you need to see. John 3:36. How do I get this life that John 3:16 talked about? How am I born again that John 3:2 talked about? It's really interesting. John doesn't give us much mechanics. And the whole dissertation between Jesus, you must be born from above. But he doesn't tell you how, not right there. How do I get this? Well, let's look at John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. People, is that clear? Boom. Period. Stop. It's over. Faith. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son does not see life. What does it mean to obey? Believe. The obedience that God is looking for is the obedience that is faith. Obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him because he hasn't come to the life. Please turn a few pages over to chapter 6, verse 40. Chapter 6, verse 40. How do I get this life of Christ? You might tell others that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. How do I get that life? John 6:40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. Look at verse 47, same chapter 6. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. We know the object. We know how it's got to be faith. We know the object. From 3:36, it's the Son. What's the result? You have this life. Jesus Christ said, I am the life. You don't have it without Him. It is so important to know how to have the life of Jesus Christ. This sets the pattern for everything we receive from God. We receive it by depending on Him by faith. Please look at John 11. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live. That's life. Even if he dies, that's the flesh and blood. Don't ever be afraid of death, of the flesh and blood. As you get older, you're glad you're going to die. I think that's one reason that God does have death, to have us get old. you reach a certain point where, boy, I want out of here. I'm just, you know, we can be ready to go at any time. Like myself, I'm ready to go home now, but I have things I want to study. I have things I want to communicate. I have things I want to see and teach. But you reach that point where you can't even do all those things, get me out of here. Get me out of here. This flesh and blood is bad. So this becomes so beautiful in God's wonderful plan that he does. So John 6:40, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son, believes in him, may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him on that day. John 6:47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. So important to know how. 11:25, where we left off, Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies in the flesh and blood. Verse 26, and everyone who lives, flesh and blood, and believes in me shall never die. That's spiritual death. Doesn't mean you won't die flesh and blood. Means you won't die spiritually. You'll live forever. Then he asked the question, do you believe it? And that's the real kicker. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? When I was in Ethiopia, Dan and I were in Ethiopia, and sat and talked to the professor at Ohio State, who was a Nigerian, and I went up to the room and got everything, I talked to the pastors and kind of gave him an outline of what was going on and the cross and the whole deal, and he looked at me and he said, all my life I've never heard that. I've been a Catholic all my life, and I've never heard what you've just said about the cross. And this was not an intellectual discussion. Do you believe it? And I pressed, do you believe it then? Just seeing it, hearing it. And he said, absolutely. He said, my goodness, this makes it so simple. So this becomes the great issue. Do you believe this? Look at chapter 20 in John. Chapter 20, verse 31. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the sent one, the Son of God, deity, and that believing you may have life in his name. Okay, what is regeneration? Being born from above. Why is regeneration necessary? How do we receive regeneration? By faith. This is so important in understanding that God does everything for us, people. He does everything and everything in our life. It's important to understand why, when we have the life of Jesus Christ, why we can even get spiritual life in our life is going to be by faith. Okay. Necessity of regeneration. Existence of God, fall of man, for justification, and then four, essential to the spiritual warfare. I am the way, the truth, and the life. As we will see even later in this very chapter, God the Holy Spirit is inseparably linked to each of us in this life issue. I am the way. God the Holy Spirit directs us the way to Jesus Christ as also the way in our life. I am the truth. That is, Jesus Christ illuminates God the Father to us. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will illuminate when we walk by faith in the Spirit. That's why he's called what? He's called the Spirit of Truth. He also is the truth. And then I am the life. Well, the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of life. It gives life. It gives us spiritual life to live our life. Also by faith. Receiving the life of Jesus Christ as redemptive salvation. Receiving the life of the Holy Spirit as we walk by faith in the Spirit. Okay, John 14:6. Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The comfort of paradise then Paradise Lost, Satan rules. Comfort in Paradise Regional State, comfort in communion with God the Father. Paradise Lost, Satan. Paradise Regained, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and we studied what the truth is, and the life. Now we move to the section, let me turn there with you, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let's read. What I want to do is read now 6 through 11, because we got to pick up the pace somewhere, but let's read 6 through 11. And Jesus said to him, he's responding to Thomas's question in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? We don't even know where you're going. How would we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. This is admirable on Philip's part in a way. It's very naive, and he hadn't been really thinking, but he responds to what the Lord says better than some of the others do sometime. Verse 7, if you had known me, you'd known the Father. You would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. You show us, that's it. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How is it that you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Powerful words, people. Very mysterious words. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. So we've gone from speaking to works, but we'll cover that in more detail when we get there. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise believe on account of the works themselves. So either believe my works or believe my words. Now this section is a vital part of the whole purpose of John. Knowing God. It's one reason that John is writing this, that you will know God. Our lives on earth as believers in the flesh, living here on earth in this earthly body, is so linked with knowing God. That's why people, I say to you so often, what's your view of God? I'm actually saying, what's your knowing of God? How do you know him? Do you know him as a God who's going to keep you in fear, keep you doing this and keep you doing that, that wants you to judge and malign and separate and all these things? What's your view of God? This is what John wants us to know, is knowing God. Our joy is linked to a relationship with knowing the Father. People, it highly affects our prayer life. Your view of the Father, praying to him, talking with him. What can I say to him? What can I do with him? What kind of prayers? Your prayer life is in knowing God the Father. This section of Scripture, I came that you know the Father. That's why I came. So many people get hung up and bogged down on Jesus. And I hope that kind of pricks you, that you have to work your way through that. Because Jesus came to reveal the Father and take us to the Father. John's revelation of God the Father centers on the person of Jesus Christ. Up to now, the glory of God was known in the temple. Remember that now when you read these verses that we just read. The glory of God was known in the temple. But now the glory of God is known in a person. This is historical, people. He's not in that temple. What did the woman at the well say? You worship him from Jerusalem. That's where you know him. Jesus said the time's coming, they'll not worship there in one any one place. History's changing. He's not going to be known in that temple. He's going to be known by this person. And I'm sorry that so many Christians don't know this person, and especially non-Christians do not know this person. Knowing the God the Father is going to be in a person of Jesus Christ, not a building. If you know, want to know the Father, you're going to have to know the Son. John's writing, and this is a unique gospel, reveals Jesus Christ, but he reveals God the Father. Knowing God the Father, having a relationship with God the Father, is vital in our lives. Let's close tonight with these points. Point one. This is why Jesus Christ came to bring life of God the Father to us. This is why Jesus Christ came to bring the life of God the Father to us. Chapter 14, verse 7. Point two. We should desire to know Him because He is our God and our Father. We should desire to know Him because He is our God and our Father. Chapter 20, verse 17. Three, we are to worship God the Father. And true worship depends on knowing Him. Chapter 4, 21 through 23. We're not here worshiping some God we do not know, some force out there. Point four, Jesus Christ makes it very clear that we're here to glorify God the Father. Chapter 15, 8. We are here to glorify the Father. If you don't even know Him, how can you glorify Him? Five. Our prayer life is to God the Father. Our prayer life is to God the Father. 15, 16, and 16, 23. A lot of people do not know about prayer, because they do not understand the Father. Six, the impact of the love of God the Father, the impact of the love of God the Father in our lives. First John 2, 15 to 16, and 1 John 3, 1. And finally, seven, we are in His kingdom. We are in the kingdom of God. Revelation 1:6. Okay, we'll pick it up here next Wednesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what an important study tonight. Knowing You. How often when things happen in our life that we don't understand, we become confused. When tragic things happen, we come at You. I pray, Father, You'll take the things that we've seen tonight, let them become vividly real in our souls, so that no matter what happens in our life, we are instantly oriented to You, Your omnipotence, Your righteousness, Your love, Your compassion, Your mercy, all that You are. Christ came to reveal You to us. Pray, Father, that as we continue to study these things, that we will see more and more clearly the God that we worship. We praise You, Father, in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you, Jim. Oh, thank you.